early part of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. When you turn there, and I pray that what God gives you tonight is going to be a big help to you. I know it will be at some point in your life, but it could be right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse 3, the time to kill. Yeah, okay. You probably got somebody in mind. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. So what happens in this section? You've read this before. He's showing you that there are all kinds of times and all kinds of seasons. I'd like you to concentrate on the five words in verse 3 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that say, and a time to heal. And a time to heal. Okay? As you know, it takes time for injuries and wounds to heal. If you've ever had an injury, if you've ever had a wound, you've had a surgery, you don't heal overnight. Right now, I'm doing physical therapy on my shoulder. Apparently the joint's good, doesn't appear to be torn, but there's a lot going on in there, and we're working on it. And I would like to be able to get all of what's being done in one session. But you all guys know with a smile on your face, if you've ever had any physical therapy, it don't happen like that. As a matter of fact, the stuff we got involved in today was extremely painful. But as they say, if we're not hurting you, we're not helping you. You got to get down into some of those areas and really... And let me tell you something. I am seeing noticeable improvement. So it takes time, and at first it's very painful. When you're injured, it's painful, and when you start to rehabilitate, it's painful. Do you agree? Okay. You know, I've been also noticing, because there are other people there doing their physical therapy, and they were talking to how many weeks you've been in, how many weeks you've been doing. Oh, that's great. You're doing way better at 3 weeks than I was. I've been doing this 6 weeks, and you've almost caught up with you. Hear all that conversation. But across the board, everybody is grimacing and everybody's getting better. You know what? It takes time to heal. So with that in mind, you are going to get wounded in life. I don't mean bumping your leg. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about you are going to get emotionally wounded in life. Somebody's going to get crossway with you, and you're going to get crossways with them. And I'm telling you, honestly, the people that you least expect it from, when it happens with them, when it happens with a brother and sister in Christ, happens in a church. You know what you wonder after you've experienced something like that in a short period of time afterwards? You wonder this. Will I ever get over this? You do. Because it hurts. Because it's not like a bruise. You see the bruise and then you see it start, the coloration changing and all. You know when you're looking at it that just in a matter of a couple of weeks you're going to be better. But things that happen here, things that happen with your family, things that happen with perhaps people you work with or something like that. You're in close proximity with people you didn't expect to hurt you or whatever, and you don't see a change in the coloration. You don't see a scar forming where there had been a cut. You don't get stitches taken out. And so you have this emotional pain that's associated with what's just happened to you, and a month later it still feels just as bad as it did the day you found out about it. You're like, will I ever get over this? Will I ever heal? And you know something? I have an expression now. Life is short, but life is long. And we know life is short because you hear expressions about that in the Bible. It's like a vapor. It's like a shadow. And some of us that lived a period of time, we see the pages of our calendar turning every hour, it seems. Things are just, it just seems that way when you get older, that things fly by rather rapidly. Life is short, but life is long. So what do you mean by that? Life is short, but life is long enough to heal and get over these kinds of wounds. I've lived long enough where things that happened to me that I really didn't expect to happen, and that happened to me in association with people that are very close to me, I wondered, will I ever get over this? And years have passed, and here we are today. And I'm going to tell you, life is short, but life is long enough to heal and get over the wound. As a matter of fact, what you'll see oftentimes is that there's contact again with somebody, some person with whom you've had a major thing, an injury. And in the communication, it's like it never happened. It's like there's not even a scar to be a memory of the occasion. So I'll say this. There is a time to heal. It takes time to heal, and you will heal, listen, if you rehabilitate. You understand the things I'm experiencing in my shoulder, I've experienced for a while, and I told the physical therapist today, you know what, I should have started this a long time ago. And he said, yeah, we're men, you know, we're all kind of like, I can tough this out, I'll get over it. And when you think you can tough it out and get over it, but you're not rehabilitating, you'd be amazed that that wound seems to be perpetual. So you have to know going into getting over a with whatever, like somebody close to you, a spouse, a family member, whatever it may be, it takes time to heal. That's what the verse says, and a time to heal. And I realize what it's saying is there's a time to kill, and so this is the time I got to kill him. There's a time to heal, now I got to take it easy and heal. But it takes time to heal. It also says that. Okay? So how do you heal over time? I'm going to give you four things from the scripture that will help you when you consider, all right, I got to get over this thing, but how do I do it? Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. How do I do it? How is it going to be possible? Genesis chapter 27. I'm going to assume, and I think rightly so, that you know about every one of these things we're going to talk tonight. So I'm not going to go into a lot of, backstory leading up to the incident. Jacob stole Esau's blessing. Verse 41, Genesis 27, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother, a time to kill. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. He's biding his time. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Now watch it. Verse 44, tarry with him a few days. It was a lot longer than she thought. Until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee. Verse 45, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Number one, as they say in New York, forget about it. It's what it says here. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Forget about it. What are you saying? You know what? Over a long period of time, if you just quit bringing it back up to your memory, something else in life is going to happen and you're going to forget about it. And you should. I've talked to you about this before, but you know Newton's cradle, right? So you have that ball that hits the five that are hanging on the monofilament line and bow, and the other one on the other end goes. I liken those to thoughts and feelings. Thoughts and feelings. You wake up and you start thinking about something that happened to you that was bad, bang, and all of a sudden you start feeling all the anger and the sadness and everything that goes with it. Or you wake up feeling sad and mad one day and you're like, I wonder what I feel all about. And then you start thinking about it again. So bang, and there go the thoughts. And so you have this never-ending process of thinking about what it was and then feeling the pain all over again, or feeling the pain and thinking about it all over again. And at one of these, you've got to stop. You got to stop that ball hitting the other ones to make it go. The one you can control more easily of the two is your thoughts. I mean, if you think about it, we won't go into all that. It's not a lesson on that tonight. Except, so you know what you have to do? You gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. And understand this, it takes time. But you gotta let it go. Now, what happens here in Genesis chapter 33, if you'll turn there, please, is that Jacob runs to Laban and he loves Rachel, and so he works for 7 years and he gets Leah. He said, well, I'll put in another 7 years for Rachel, and he does that. And then after that, now, you know, he starts working to steal some cattle, and 6 years after that, he's been there 20 years. And he's on his way back, and he's scared to death because Esau is going to come with an entourage of 400 men. Jacob doesn't see that as a welcoming party. He sees that as his death. Nevertheless, in Genesis 33, verse 4, when Esau showed up, watch it, verse 4, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You know what he did? He forgot about it. They had a reunion. Now, I understand there's stuff that goes on between the Jews and the Edomites and all that other stuff. I'm just telling you, that day, it was like it never happened. So what Jacob's mother, Rebecca, said, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done to him, was exactly what happened over a period of time. So you got to forget about it. You say, well, that's hard to do. Yeah, but you can do it. Okay, you have to ask yourself the question, do I want to keep suffering with this pain that I associate with this bad thing that happened to me, or do I want to quit feeling this? If you decide I want to quit feeling this, then forget about it. And just recognize you won't, 24 hours from now, won't be forgotten about it. But 6 months from now, right, not as much, and a year from now, and pretty soon, what? Do you know, when the pain subsides, it's hard to remember the event that caused the pain? I had abdominal surgery, when I was 16 or 17. It was so bad. Now, I'm not going to start, because what's going to happen, we're going to go out the foyer. Well, let me tell you about the one I had, okay? I'm not going to go into all that. Let me just tell you, I woke up after the surgery, and I thought my knee had been stapled to my chin. And my gut was in an incredible amount of pain. And then I'm walking, because they tell you got to walk. And I'm like, really? So you're walking, and the doctor comes by, and he says, walking like that's not going to do you any good. Straighten up. And man, I'm telling you, boy. But you know what? I'm telling you the story, and it's all kind of funny, but I can't feel it. The pain is gone, and it has been for years. So because the pain's gone, I don't think about it anymore. You can bring back the memory, but you no longer feel the pain. Why? Because you get on with life. Get on with life. You don't want to stay stuck there. How are we doing? Is that like, yeah, preacher, you're right? Okay, one guy says, okay, preacher, we're going to forget about it. Let it go. Just let it go. You say, well, I don't have anything like that going on. You will. And remember what you heard. You got to quit thinking about it. All right, Genesis 45. Again, you know what happened. Joseph told his brothers his dreams. They envied him. When they got the chance, they sold him into slavery, and that was a bad deal. Well, eventually, there's a famine, and they have to come to Egypt, and now Joseph is the second ruler in the country, and he finally makes himself known to them, and they're like, what? Verse 5, Genesis 45, verse 5, Now he tells his brothers, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Watch it, for God did send me before you to preserve life. How are you going to get over? How are you going to heal? Number one, you got to forget it. You got to quit thinking about it. You got to forget about it. Number two, you've got to consider what God's doing. You have this thing that happened in your life, and let me tell you something. God is still there. God is still in the picture somewhere. What is God going to do with this thing that happened? Because he's doing stuff in your life. And this collision that you've had that has caused you this pain is not like something that God didn't know was going to happen or is not aware of in your life. And when he's aware of it in your life, he can do something with what's happened to you and make an improvement in your life. He can. But you got to consider what he's doing. You know, Joseph, when he said this to his brothers, he said, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Why didn't he say, I am so mad at y'all? I mean, if anybody's going to be angry, he should be the one, right? But he wasn't. God did send me before you to preserve life. But listen. It takes time to heal. He was 17 years old when they sold him. He was 30 years old when he came out of prison. That's 13 years. Then there's been 7 years of plenty. And look in verse 6, for these 2 years hath famine been in the land, now 2 years of famine. So there have been a total, you see, of 22 years by this point. What happened to him when he was 17 was 22 years ago. And by this time, he definitely went from bad to worse, being envied by his brothers, to being a slave, to then being in prison. But now, for 9 years, he's been the second ruler in the country, and now it's very clear that God had something going on. It wasn't clear early on. It takes time to heal. But it got clear after a period of time, and after so much time, he looked back and he was like, you know what? That's a pretty good deal. Ain't half bad here. And by the time that he actually was in the situation, he was no longer also worried about his brothers and his father and his mother bowing down to him as he was just being the second ruler in the country and doing a good job. He says in Genesis 50, after his father has died and been buried, the brothers are all nervous again. Ah, now that dad's gone, he's going to get us. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He says to them, don't worry about that. In verse 20, he says this, as for you, you thought evil against me. Come on, guys. I forgot about it, but I'm not thinking about it. But I'll tell you, right? You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Do you have any idea that the painful situation you had, that God somehow or another would find a way to make that thing good? Let me see. We know that all things work together for something good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So when you get to looking at it from God's perspective, consider what he's doing. God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You say, I don't believe I could ever do that for the person that hurt me. You can. You can if you see what God's doing. Consider what God's doing in your life and how he might use this for his glory and for your benefit. How do you heal over time? Number one, forget about it. Number two, consider what God's doing. All right, number three, 2 Timothy chapter 4. How are we doing? Are we helping you out at all? Okay, two. Two of you getting some help tonight. Great. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Again, you know the situation. This is Paul. He's writing to Timothy. He's late in his ministry. Years before this, in Acts chapter 15, verse 37 to 40, he and Barnabas got crossways over a guy named Mark who had come to join them when they went out on their first missionary journey. About halfway through, John Mark said, I'm heading home, and left them. And Paul said to Barnabas, I don't want to take him on the second journey. Remember how he left us high and dry? We're not doing that again. And there was a sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas over that matter, and they went their separate ways. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, only Luke is with me. Watch it. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Are you kidding me? What happened? It takes time to heal. It's profitable for the ministry. How then did this happen? Well, third thing, if you want to rehab a wound, attend to the ministry. Forget about it. In other words, quit thinking about it. Consider what God's doing and attend to the ministry. You understand, Mark went with John Mark went with Barnabas. He continued in the ministry. It didn't let him, if it upset him, and it probably did, I can't believe Saul did that to me. Right? And Barnabas, after all I did for Paul, now he's doing this to John. He could have gotten all bitter and flustered about it. And Paul could have held a grudge. I'll never do anything with that guy again. That's how these things typically go, just like that. But I'm going to tell you something. They didn't do that. John Mark just got busy about, listen, if you're going to do well in the ministry and you're having trouble with a guy like Paul, you'll do really well with a guy like Barnabas, right? Son of consolation. And Barnabas is the kind of guy he needed. So John continued in the ministry, although he got off to a slow and, you know, a little bit of a precarious start. I'm going to tell you, you know, the worst thing in the world you can do is stop. Some people get wounded and they get out. I've talked to people, personal work. Yeah, I used to go to church, but so-and-so, and I'm not going back. When you do that, you won't heal. You'll get bitter and you'll stay bitter. And every person I met that said, I'm no longer going to church because of something somebody did, every single one of those, 100%, they were bitter. They were bitter. Listen, if you keep your mind on the ministry rather than the people who have hurt you in the ministry, you'll heal. Keep doing something for God. You can't quit on church and God's people just because church is where you got hurt by God's people. If that's where you got hurt. It happens. I've said it before, I'll repeat it again. Daniel Havman said about being in the ministry, if you're close enough to touch them, you're close enough to be hurt by them. It's just part of what happens. What are you going to do? You don't stop there and decide from now on, I am just going to be crippled by this wound or live in the pain of this wound. What do? You get up and go do something for God. And that helps you. That's what Paul did. And now he says at the end, take Mark and bring him with thee. He is profitable to whom? To whom? Look at it. To whom? Me in the ministry. You know what that is? That's a reconciliation. He said, I thought I'd never be able to do anything with you again. Amazing if you consider what God's doing, what might result from something like this. It's all good. Okay, one more thing. Proverbs 13:3. And there's probably other things. These are major. Proverbs 13:3. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'd say quit thinking about it. Number one, consider what God's doing. Number two, attend to the ministry because God, listen, God gave you a spiritual gift. He intends for you to use that to the benefit of people in a local church. So get busy about what you're doing. I'm telling you what, don't bring that bitterness to other people in the church and destroy other people's lives with it, which is what Proverbs 13:3 is about in some degree. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Quit talking about it. Quit talking about it. I know people that have been, you know, you don't stay in the ministry this many years and make friends in the ministry without hearing about bad things that happen, and unfortunately they do. But I'll tell you what, guys that just can't quit talking about it never get better. They just don't get better. They want to justify themselves. They want to defend themselves. They want to criticize the person who did it. They want to try to restore their name. You know, we live in a country where the more you defend yourself, the more guilty people think you are. The best thing he said to do, keep your mouth. We say, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. We say, keep your mouth what? Shut. Right? He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You're not going to rehabilitate if all you can do is keep talking about the problem. You got to stop. You got to stop. So what am I to do? Follow Jesus' example. He told us, when you suffer for something wrongfully and take it patiently, this is thankworthy with God, and you and I are to follow Christ's example, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Just leave it with God. You don't have to explain why the other person was wrong and you were right. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to say anything about it. Listen, there are blow-ups and wrecks all the time. And the next big storm that brews, they're going to forget all about the fact that something bad happened to you. Unless you're the one that's over there continuing to remind everybody all the time about how bad it went. You know, at some point they get tired of hearing that. And it doesn't do you any good. And you don't heal. If you're going to rehabilitate, you got to quit talking about it. So what does the text say? A time to heal. You want to heal? Take the time and rehabilitate. That's what you need to do. Now, listen, time alone won't heal you unless you at least do these things we talked about tonight. You could probably think of some other things, but that's enough. That's enough. You get that much done right there, you'll be feeling a whole lot better. You'll be doing a lot better. Okay? Father, thank you tonight for some very good instruction from the Scripture. Everyone in this room needs this at some point in time, and perhaps there's somebody here that needs it right now. Well, I pray, dear God, that they will gladly follow what prescription you've given us in the Scripture and find these things to be absolutely true, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.